Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Diane Wright is an assemblage artist whose work has been showcased in galleries throughout Connecticut and in private homes across the country. A collection of her work will be showcased during the month of August in the West Gallery at the Simsbury Public Library. Her work will also be part of a traveling exhibit entitled Altars, Shrines, and Amulets, curated by fellow artist Gay Shemp. It will be showcased at the David M. Hunt Library in Falls Village, Connecticut on August 25th through September 23rd, with an opening reception on August 25th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. So we hope you enjoy our chat with Diane Wright here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome to Nutmeg Chatter. Diane Wright, thank you for being here on WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Thanks for being here on Nutmeg Chatter.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Now, obviously, I'm a fan of your work. I actually written about your work before on the Nutmeg Chatter site. We had learned about your creative process, and I think this is a wonderful time to be able to share that process now on the radio program. So, for those who haven't read that article, if you don't mind me asking, how did you begin in the world of art?
Well, I was in college after high school. I had a choice, an application into Rhode Island School of Design and Hartford Art School. And my teacher said, well, there's nothing to consider. You're going to RISD. And that's where I went. And I went in the early 60s, and I went through illustration.
Illustration. Okay, so illustration is different from assemblage. Now, for, and I may be mispronouncing it, so please feel free to correct me.
I don't care how you pronounce it, as long as, please buy it. the thing was, I don't know why I went through illustration, only because it guaranteed a job, quote unquote, in the 60s, because my Scholastic Key Award was a three-dimensional object.
So with you loved working on three-dimensional objects, and we'll explain what assemblage means in just a few moments, but you thought that you would find more work being an illustrator. So that's mm-hmm. why you went to mm-hmm. RISD, as you said, Rhode Island School of Design,
right.
for illustration, saying that's where, you know, you would find more work. And yet, as it turns out, your real creative love and freedom was found in assemblage. For those who do not know what the word assemblage means, could you please describe it?
It's a little bit of mixed media. You can use collage. You can use found objects. You can use... I don't like to throw anything out. I recycle everything. Mm-hmm. I have a garage full of broken chairs, and my son says, aren't you getting rid of these soon? And I said, nope.
and that's because and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that because you try to incorporate the different found elements within?
Yes. It took me about 3 years to finish one of Don Quixote that I had been working on after I had done a stint for costuming at the Warner Theater in Torrington. And you know, I'm working on a piece right now that's gone through about 9 or 10 different changes, and I've photographed each step along the way. It is still not right.
What makes a piece right in your mind?
It's when you realize that there's not anything that you have to add, but it's, have you taken away enough? And
really?
That's a quote. It's not quite accurate, but it's from Antoine de Saint-Exupéry, who wrote The Little Prince. And I first was an admirer of his in, I think, before I even moved up to Connecticut. I think I was in 6th or 7th grade down in Pennsylvania.
And you were a fan of The Little Prince, and it was
Wind, Sand, and Stars.
Oh.
Because Exupéry was a pilot during the Second World War. He was a male pilot. And his plane crashed in the desert.
Oh, wow.
That's how he wrote The Little Prince.
Wow. And, you know, it's around that time. That's when you were drawing as well. You were illustrating, correct?
Yes.
Now, what was your favorite subject?
Horses.
Horse. I knew that already because we had interviewed before. But what was it about horses that you gravitated towards?
I'm probably the freedom, the movement, the ability to just go for it, just do it. And I tried riding them, and nope, I think I'd rather look at them.
And draw them from afar.
Yes, and from memory.
Really?
Yes, I never looked at them.
Now, let me ask you this. Your work, your assemblage, isn't necessarily, it's not horse themed at all, in
No.
fact. So it seems like, is horses, is that pretty much your
That's my
illustrative
go-to
work?
thing when I'm get stuck. It's if I'm really, really stuck on something, I'll scribble a doodle, a sketch of words or whatever.
For those who are learning about the idea of assemblage, an assemblage, as you
It's
described, is.
non-traditional. I was given the name of a fellow who's in charge of the Quinebaug Valley Community College gallery, and he's looking for non-traditional artists. And somebody I had a show with a couple of years ago, Audrey Mucci, does non-traditional assemblage pieces. And she pointed me in that direction. She used to be the gallery curator.
What was the first assemblage that you created, or when, what was the thing
It
that?
was, well, for the Warner, for Artwell, I did well, I also subsequently used it at Westerly, Chorus of Westerly for their Pegasus. It was a sculptural three-dimensional object of a Pegasus horse.
Ah,
It
okay.
was done with silk and with chicken wire and fabric and beads and all sorts of things. And it could be carried. And I entered it in the first Artwell when they first opened.
Well, and so actually, that's the bridge then. So
Yeah.
from the bridge from the illustration that you
Yep.
of horses to now the assemblage and the work that you do is very I would say it's ornate, but by the same token, there's space to breathe in it.
Oh
Would that be a
yeah,
fair assessment?
that's probably goes along with that quote about knowing when you've taken away enough.
Right.
Yeah.
In terms of knowing when to take away enough, do you have a theme when you are creating a piece of art, or is it something where you're looking at something and then you're inspired
Well,
by
I've
something
always
else?
been confused by people who come to me who artists, because I've been a member, a board member of the Canton Artists Gallery on the Green, and now I'm just a member. But they come to me and they say, "I don't know what to name it." And I think to myself, the name should be part of it. It should pop right out at you as you're working on it. The Don Quixote piece was an homage to Cervantes, and a couple other pieces. Fabric of the Universe is because it has fabric on it, and it's the stars, the music. It's just part of it. It's the name is part of it.
But by the same token, and correct me if I'm wrong, you hesitate to describe, or not necessarily describe, but you hesitate to give a reason or for your work to others who purchase it, because those people who find your work, discover your work, they put onto that piece of
Yes,
artwork
yes.
their own interpretation of it.
Well, my son and daughter have both said, before you die, I want you to put a list of why you made this. What was going through your mind while you were doing this? And it's hard for me to do that because it comes out in art is visual. And to me, one of my largest pieces is this. It's called Aisha, with apologies to H. Rider Haggard, because he did a book called Aisha. He also wrote King Solomon's Mines, which they turned into a
The
movie.
movie, yep.
Yeah, a long time ago. The first, what you call it? Indiana Jones sort of type stuff.
Sure.
And, this piece just came to me. It had to be Aisha. It's a female setup. And the little lizard at the bottom is heading up with a hairpick to supposedly play a piano.
And for viewers, because this is obviously an audio medium, I'll put up a link to a photograph of Aisha and some of the pieces that we describe onto the Nutmeg Chatter website. So if you go to nutmegchatter.com, you'll be able to see photos of the work. But just to describe it, there is a lizard at the bottom of a very
It's an
interesting
OG
frame.
frame. It's an OG frame that has warped, and some of the veneer has come off of it. Otherwise, it'd be worth something.
And to me, it looks very visual. It looks very musical in nature, actually. It
It's
looks like he's kind
also very female.
of, okay, yeah, sure.
I entered that was in Connecticut Women Artists at Jorgensen Gallery up in Yukon, up in Storrs.
Very nice, very nice. So that's Aisha. That will be one of the photos that we put onto the nutmegchatter.com. When we come back from our break, our first break, we'll discuss more of your work, and we'll also discuss the upcoming events that are going to take place where viewers can see your work up close and personal. Because one thing I do know about your artwork, having seen it, is that it's one thing to describe it, one thing to see it on the computer, and it's another thing to see the three-dimensional
Yes,
space
yes.
and to experience that. I highly recommend that. So we'll be back in just a few moments here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. I'm here in studio at Torrington Community Radio, WAPJ, with Diane Wright. Diane Wright is an assemblage artist whose work you'll be able to find throughout the month of August at the Simsbury Library. And you will also be able to see her work on August 25th through September 23rd at the David M. Hunt Library in Falls Village, Connecticut. Let's talk about those events, ways that people can experience your art. As we left for the first break, I described that your work is one thing to be seen, one thing to hear about and hear it described, another to see it online, just a flat photo of it, and it's another to experience your 3D. Are those type of dimensions important to your artwork?
Well, yes. In the situation where the Simsbury Library has asked for my work, they wanted it to be family friendly, and I'm also very acutely aware of things protruding, so they're not probably deeper than 2 or 3 inches at the most. And I have 10 pieces along that wall. I don't think any of these are. No, none of these have images of him. But, they're things that people will find interesting, I think. One of them is black and white and red, with the A in parentheses, red all over, which goes along with the old joke of what's black and white and red all over. It's the newspaper, obviously, and that's fitting for a library, so I'm going to put it in.
That's fantastic. And then the other exhibit is part of a large collection of a lot there. So there are a lot of artists who
Yes,
were.
there's at least 8 of us, I think, in this group.
And that is called Altars, Shrines, and Amulets. And it was curated by Gay Shemp. Now, Gay Shemp is an
She does
exceptional artist.
encaustics.
And her work, she has her own studio in Whiting Mills,
Right,
Winsted,
right.
Connecticut. And so. She was creating and curating this particular traveling exhibit. Traveling, will there be places other than
Yes, and I think the Underground Gallery is listed, and I forget the name of it in Sono, down in South Norwalk, a Haviland Gallery, I think.
And so these and so it'll travel from Falls Village
Yep.
to at least one of the stops will then be the Underground Gallery in Canton
Or Collinsville.
or Collinsville, okay, and then another one in Norwalk.
South Norwalk, yeah.
Very nice. So there'll be different ways and different places in Connecticut where people can
Right.
experience your work along with others.
Right. And the other artists included are listed here. George Herrick, I don't know his work very well. Laurie Barker, she's out at Wisdom House in think she's done in Gayshamp, and there are some others in there.
Okay. Yeah. So you'll have Laurie Barker. Yeah. And Laurie Barker, I know she had her own gallery that was in, I want to say,
Yep.
Litchfield.
Yep.
And so I'm very familiar with her work. And you're right. I see your name listed along with a number of others. Looking forward to learning more about that.
Yes.
That's the Altars, Shrines, and Amulets curated by Gay Shemp. And the first stop on this particular tour.
Is the David Hunt Gallery.
David Hunt Gallery in Falls Village, Connecticut.
Right.
They say that there will be an opening reception on the 25th
Right.
from 5 to 7 p.m. So
Right.
that's really interesting. Do you like having your work displayed in these type of exhibits?
Yes. Yes, anywhere, but I'd rather people came to me. hopefully one day I'd have a space where they could come to me.
You mean like your own studio? Right
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
you work from
In my
your primary
house.
residence,
Yeah.
but you hope one day to have a studio, kind of a studio space that
Right.
people would be able to come and
Right.
discover it. But before that happens, people are able to find it
Right.
through these type of exhibits. I believe as well, you had other gallery exhibits earlier on in the year,
Oh
right?
yeah,
You
I
had.
had a solo show at Canton
That's right.
from March 17th to April 25th, I think. And I've, been a member of Canton Artists Guild for many years, since 2007 or 8, and Connecticut Women Artists. I was a member of Mystic Art Association.
So the Mystic, you were part of that as well for a time.
I was, yes. And then I realized that I didn't paint pretty pictures.
Well, but your work is very special, very
It
different.
makes people think.
And as I said, part of it is the experience of seeing it
Yeah.
in person,
Yeah.
because your work is three-dimensional. There has elements that are three-dimensional that will make one piece of the artwork pop.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, it will speak to somebody, speak visually to somebody.
Now, how do you find these type of events? Is it something where it is entered into competitions or considerations,
I
or is
only
it
do
something?
juried shows lately, due to cost-wise.
Sure.
I probably should probably look at New York, but it's such a travel thing.
A travel thing.
A travel thing. It's I driving's no fun anymore.
Okay.
It's not any.
Well, now your artwork is in a traveling exhibit, so your art can travel for you,
Yes.
which is important. But I think ultimately, the main takeaway from it is because your work is so ornate and has a beautiful three-dimensional quality to it. It is the type of artwork that is best experienced live and
Yeah.
in person, where when I say interact, I mean not touch it, but at least interact with it.
Right. I personally, when I first started doing this type of work, I had to put a please do not touch sign on
That
it
makes sense. Yeah.
because people were so keen to turn things and move things, and it's not any of that. Matter of fact, recently I removed a piece from a plexiglass case and put a different piece in it that I've been hesitant to show because of its political nature, but because of also the fact that it had a handle which did not turn.
Ah, but people thought that was part of the
Yes.
piece. Very nice. Well, when we come back from our second break, we're going to have our third and final segment with Diane Wright. We'll talk about the history of her creation of her work and talk about the inspirations behind some of her pieces and so much more. And then conclude our discussion with Diane Wright here on Nutmeg Chatter. Welcome back to Nutmeg Chatter. I'm J. Timothy Quirk. Here in the studio at WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio, I'm speaking with Diane Wright. She is an assemblage artist. She's also an accomplished illustrator herself. I mean, her illustrations are amazing, especially her work dealing with horses. But the art that she truly gravitates towards are pieces of three-dimensional mixed media art that incorporates a number of different found objects and objects that specifically work on a piece. Now, in the first segment, we talked about Don Quixote, and you said, correct me if I'm wrong, that it took 3 years to complete that one piece. And then you said that you were working another one for a long period of time. What's the longest period of time that you have worked on one singular piece of artwork?
Are you asking me how long it takes me to do a piece?
Well, I would get to that, but I guess that I was going to start long and then
it's
get to
taken
that.
me 60 years to get to where I am. It's a long process, and it's like one of my pieces on this large 5x7 postcard is from a fence, from a gate that was in a house we had up in Colebrook. That's the background of it. And the dog leg axe is from the general store that was across the street from it. This was in the attic. This frame was in the attic. And this is part of a silver trivet.
Well, the again, we'll show this online. There is a postcard with a number of Diane Wright's pieces on it. And they are very, very intricate, as I described, and ornate and interesting pieces, but they are often used from found objects.
Yeah.
Where do you find the objects?
All over. It's I don't go to flea markets. I don't go to tag sales. I quit going to flea markets after this major piece here. The horse collar is from Brimfield. That was the last time I went to a flea market. And that was when my nephew, who's now in his 20s, was in a push chair, push cart. He was a child, a
so
baby.
You don't go to flea markets anymore. You literally find them, or somebody might say,
give
hey,
them
here's
to
a
me.
piece,
Here's...
and I think you might
Yeah.
enjoy that
Yeah.
piece.
Yeah.
So that's something that you can. And then your family sometimes just comes across something and says, I know that
I
Diane
have a
Wright.
catalytic converter in my front garden, and my kids go for walks and they find things. I have a set of horns. I have a moose antler. God knows. I they're all over. The thing's all over.
And you're able to look at these pieces, and you could say that this piece won't fit into this particular piece of artwork that I'm using, or you could find something and then that could stir
Perfect.
an entire
Yes.
work of art onto itself.
Yeah.
And so that's why, because when we had said it took you 3 years to work on
Yeah.
Don Quixote, and then possibly even more or longer for other pieces, it's because you are not looking for a piece for completion. You are looking
For the right
for
piece,
the
for
right
the
piece
right
that
thing
completes it,
that completes,
which is
yeah.
different, which is a different thing, and
That's a
that's what
completely.
makes your artwork special, because you take the time to
This
make
is a traded piece. This little Mystic Pathfinder is a sewing, a metal box that had sewing instruments and old sewing machine parts in it.
And from there, you created your own separate and unique piece of artwork.
Which I've traded to somebody for.
Do you think is the ultimate inspiration for some of your work, or is it seeing a piece and being inspired by it, or wanting to promote a particular message and then finding things that incorporate it? What's it like for Diane Wright the artist?
I don't know. I knew that I'd had this piece I've been working on that's gone through about 9 or 10 different changes that I've cleared off my work table to work on. Has as a background a door, an old door. It's an old wooden door that is faded light green paint, and I knew that that was going to be the background of something.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't thrown it out for 20-something years.
I've waiting for that right moment.
For the right moment.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, Diane, as we wrap up our discussion, do you have a particular website or a location where people can find your work and then learn more about it?
Yes, I do. It's WordPress.
I see. So it's Diane Wright, and that's with a W R. So I'll just spell it DianeL Wright, which is WRIGHT.
All one word.
Yep. .wordpress.com. So that's DianeL Wright.wordpress.com, where they can find out more information about your work.
I'll have a blog sort of thing. They'll have upcoming shows. There's an artist statement. There's a resume. And if they click on the homepage on the right, there's more photos.
Okay.
It'll take them to a Flickr
and we'll
site.
We'll also put a link to your mm-hmm. page from the Nutmeg Chatter page so that way people can find it and find out more information about your work. And so your work, as I said, for the month of August, and that's August of 2017, those finding this interview, August 2017, your work is going to be showcased in the Simsbury Library, and that's for the entire month. People can come in.
Except Sundays, it's closed.
Right, the library hours are Monday through Thursday, 9:30 a.m. to 8:30 p.m., Saturdays, 9:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m., and closed on Sundays. That's located at 725 Hot Meadows Street in Simsbury. And then there's the David M. Hunt Library in Falls Village, Connecticut. That work is going to be part of a traveling collection of a number of artists curated by Gay Shemp, and that's August 25th through September 23rd with an opening reception on August 25th from 5 to 7 p.m. Diane Wright, thank you for coming in to talk to us here on Nutmeg Chatter.
I've loved it.
This has been a fantastic conversation. Thank you for coming in. Nutmeg Chatter is a production of WAPJ, Torrington Community Radio. Some of our music has been provided by The Jingle Punks, courtesy of YouTube royalty-free music, so we thank you for that. Please stay tuned, for at 4 p.m., there's The Hotspot with Darcy. Always a great musical experience, so please stay tuned for that. I want to thank you for listening to Nutmeg Chatter. I hope you enjoyed the chat.